Yeah, I guess we talked about, I guess a lot about the politics of decomposition when you decompose things into modules. What does that mean in terms of power and control and locking? And when those decisions are made and who gets to change them later?
I liked your APIs are counter-revolutionary.
Yeah. That's
to me a kind of, because we were talking, I mean, it's funny because we started from, Christoph had a quote from Buckminster Fuller about
more flexible building blocks and flexible connections between not thinking of bricks as building blocks, but more nodal connection. So, start.
And then actually just this idea that APIs, like Twitter's API, is a great example of something that's gone from rather permissive with supporting things like RSS feeds, which indeed are protocols.
Yeah.
We were talking indeed about how protocols are about independent implementations, but like the whole fact that a protocol should have multiple implementers, and the fact that actually now with the API key, is kind of really symbolic of the fact that it's about the singular, it's about a legal agreement with something that actually is very rigid. And so indeed, Simon knew, there's a nice link, I think, now to an article as well about the Twitter API in particular.
So there's an article by Kenny Bishop, which talks about how one of our arguments is that companies keep APIs deliberately unstable.
Yeah.
So it creates a surface impression of a stable form. Regular connectable updates to APIs are often deliberately staged in a destabilizing fashion in order to keep the third party and developers on their toes and so on. You kind of discipline that.
Okay.
Refactoring was,
yeah,
I think it came up.
What?
Refactoring.
Refactoring.
Oh,
yes.
It's on the list.
It's on the list. Yeah.
So
yeah.
There are two refactoring.
But yeah, just we'll deal with the process of shifting your understanding of the world.
It's a term for programmers talk about refactoring when you, it's the process by which you improve the sort of structure of your code and as you get deeper into it and realize that you might have made some mistakes or need to
improve.
Yeah, well, that's the question. Indeed, things can go really wrong.
Well, re-architect without changing behavior in anticipation of needing to add new behavior.
Oh, okay. That's the way you wrap that up.
Wait, yeah. What's it
there? Sure. It's used in product design also, like when you have an ironing, what's it called, thing, and you switch technologies, but it's still the same functionality, and people expect the same behavior, how they treat it and everything, although it's totally different.
Just change the inner workings without the outside.
I'm really believing that.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe behavior then? Because
we didn't agree how to present it. Should we all clean each part of the world? You were making the most of it.
Yeah, I was trying to make notes. In the beginning, there was something about whether it's normative or whether it's free expression.
Yeah, that would be interesting access to think about behavior if it's expected and kind of within a norm that already established, or it can be something that can emerge from particular characteristics.
Yeah.
I don't know the physicality of behavior, just the dynamic of behaviors, the pattern, the happening.
I mean, some difficulty or some point that we touched upon when trying to talk about behaviors was sort of that there seem to be like the metaphor of behavior comes in a different sort of scale. So there is when a programmer will talk about the behavior of a system he she is building on, but then sort of like there is definitely also like this idea of behavior when you look at more like a global or like a macro scale or something? And it's sort of like, are we that interested in the sort of like the technical behavior or what constitutes technical behavior or what controls technical behavior? Or is this sort of like in a way just in a way an implementation detail? Is it relevant for like a larger discussion to think about this? For example, like master slave was one point where we thought, hey, this is, you know, like this is a point that is in a way kind of like technical and it's more like in the sort of like electrical engineering and buses and stuff.
Yeah.
Is this something that necessarily kind of radiates outwards, or is it sort of like, is it kind of confined to like the level of like let's say a technical thing?
But did you find, because this is already to define what you mean behavior is quite something. But did you find sort of pointers at what would be desired or what would be behavior in the context of a promiscuous system? Like what would that be? Like how, like master and slave is a very particular one.
The recursive technical ones, and there was also what you mentioned, the science channeling.
I mean, I would pick, if I had to pick one, I would maybe pick the kind of compatibility as a behavior. At least sort of like, and this is again more like from technical avenue or something. So that sort of like when you design a system, there's often the kind of like the behavior of the system sort of includes how it plays together with other parts. And sort of compatibility is sort of one like big question that is always on a lot of programmers' heads when it comes to like designing and implementing systems. So that was one point.
Yeah, we were understanding this differently, all three of us.
Mm-hmm.
So we were negotiating whether we think of a kind of a something that is ad hoc processual behavior, or if it's the whole system how it behaves. And then also we kind of started establishing too many categories to be able to.
I think it worked well, no? More the systemic and then more the intrinsic personified and then the more recursive technical ways of looking at the behavior.
It's kind of interesting to think about ad hoc compatibility, you know, like something that is happens in a different way.
One of the IET phrases is rough consensus and running code.
Consensus.
Kind of, and running code.
Yeah,
as an agreement.
The combination of the two.
Yeah.
So this, okay.
And this is kind of how a lot of the internet protocols are decided on. You sort of vaguely agree and it works.
Yeah.
So, okay. Let's go.
More
boundary?
Wouldn't it be interesting to speak about generous in response to this compatibility and ad hoc compatibility?
Also possible. Go.
So we were speaking about the other, and so how we came to noise, and then to generosity, or like what's the other in it? Starts with noise, and then sort of noise was about, okay, so it's things being ignored or being dropped. I'm trying to get my notes now. Please feel free to jump in. But then we came to speak about generosity and like, what is there a place for generosity in the pipes or in the pipeline itself? And then at some point we also discovered or came to the understanding that this pipe is a very small step that does a very, maybe even anonymous, has a very anonymous treatment of the data coming in and coming out. Was also an approach in a way to deal with the data you understand and to ignore the data you don't understand. But then if you think about a human scale of generosity, for example, in society, then it's actually really important that there is, that it's, we're thinking about protests maybe, where if something happens, you expect a reaction, and then a system that doesn't respond or that sort of simply absorbs is maybe even the worst answer possible in a way.
When it comes to more technical terms, one of the things that we kind of brought up, which also spurred all this conversation, is what is known as the robustness principle, which is where like many networking protocols are designed, which is about being conservative in what you do, but be liberal in what you accept from others.
So trying to understand, like, in if you think about, so because we ended up in the other category, and so that was both other as in things that were not discussed, but also other as how does a promiscuous system handle that what is alien? Handle is even already a term. So we were trying to find like terminologies that could be, well, we used generous, but could be somehow have empathy.
Which is one of the things we felt strange to talk about, in like having nodes in a pipeline system, having empathy towards the other nodes in the system and understanding even beyond what that initial handshake would mean.
Well, for me it was empathy towards the data, much more than...
Well, it is arriving, but it arrives from somewhere, so who do you have empathy with?
So this is, of course, like a large, a lot to say about, but to try to think about technologies that could allow for aliens. And again,
without you using the terms of tolerance or like this margin of error, like there's always somehow an understanding of how to deal with something that is not understood or that is not present in the system, and so finding somehow a way that it's neither ignoring what is not part of the system and nor kind of including, like absorbing what is not part of the system. Like if there is other way to deal with the other, then these two opposites somehow.
So some beginnings.
Something which is maybe a little telling is that Postel's law is to be generous in what you accept and conservative in what you send. And there was an RFC recently, Postel's law considered harmful.
Yeah.
And so it's that generosity and acceptance has resulted in a huge number of security issues and reliability issues. So it's starting to, like, that is no longer kind of doctrine, which is really interesting.
So kind of, what is it with being replaced
by? Just exactness.
Be strict in your communication and don't allow it anyway.
Yeah, basically, because the alternative breaks things. You know, whereas Postel's law was necessary before we had kind of good engineering practice, that now it's no longer necessary. In fact, it's harmful.
It's a move away from promiscuousness in communication, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's an abuse of trust in some ways.
Yeah.
It's funny that it echoes this kind of general rule that you often see in hackerspaces and hack labs of better asking for forgiveness than for permission. But I'm wondering if this is also going to be the robustness.
But asking for forgiveness, I'm not
like
sure.
To break some.
Yeah, no, I don't understand. But
which is still quite.
Who
so
are you asking?
If there's an expectation of forgiveness by default.
So back to Edge, maybe? Edge.
Where's the edge?
Yes. Yeah, we talk about boundaries and edges. And first we divided all the words that were related to that concept and also how boundaries and edges were different and similar at the same time. And we analyzed edges related to graph and math and vocabulary, and also how boundaries and edges can establish demarcations and connections at the same time. So that was basically the idea during the talk. And we were thinking about these boundaries and edges, and if edges is more like an abstraction of a boundary, or they're like, yeah. But we didn't find a resolution. It was part of the talk all the time. Yeah. You want to add something?
No, it seems good. Perfect.
It was perfect.
Anything else to add to edges? Or how did you? You said boundaries, or you
the spoke the category was boundaries slash edges. So when we came to the category, it was like, okay, what's the difference between them?
Yeah.
This we came to the abstraction and like the reality,
yeah,
and how they establish like limits, but also their spaces for connections,
yeah,
kind of interface as an osmotic membrane to divide and unite things. So that was, yeah, basically like the guideline of our talk, and how also like in math theory, like it's more like abstraction, you have limits, like they're quite sharp, and you have like point A, B, and the line between that separate things,
mm-hmm,
but maybe like in reality, it's more, there is not a line, it's more like a flow, like a soft boundary that you can establish the limits of a table because you have all the marks, the wooden that expands with humidity and these kind of things that maybe you can establish like in the in a void, an edge can exist, but maybe not in reality.
Okay. So then we have one more, no, system?
No. Well, we decided to develop a system of reporting for reporting on systems. So I guess like each of us will say like a few things. But I guess we tried to understand what system was, and we kind of, you know, floated with the ideas that it's a set of interconnection of components that form a whole. And so there are systems of behaviors, systems of structures, systems of you know, all kinds of systems, and they have values embedded in them. So the system like it can be normative, and what are these values that are embedded in these? And then at the end, we tried to come up with a set of questions, which was a bit, you know, hard in a sense, but I guess there are two. So what can be done with the ambiguity, flexibility, and contradictions that emerge out of a promiscuous system or systems, and especially thinking about the capitalist system, and also is the recuperation of contestation towards a system in particular is inevitable. So that's like the two questions that we're putting out there, and then maybe I can let others speak.
Sure. So yeah, we took a systematic approach to more or less incorporating every word that was on the list, and looking at how that could be used to either describe or contain a system, and I think we didn't really come to any particular conclusions, but the sort of thread that kept coming through the way we were assessing how each of those terms could be applied to the system was that there was things could be the properties of the system as a whole, there could be aspects of individual components of the system, or the way in which components within the system were say in contact or involved with each other. And I think these three say, broad approaches meant that we could subsume everything into our system.
No assistance possible.
No, like for instance, we looked at all like the question of maintenance of a system, and is this something which is autocatalytic, self-sufficient, or is it autonomy at a certain moment and then it collapses in one way or another due to entropy or not? So there was Yes, but do you want to answer more?
Yeah, I thought it was quite interesting also to see when a system is happening or is organized, by whom, and for what intention, and then there's a whole process of encapsulation going on that somehow joins again this the metaphor of the forest, where a good encapsulation is when there is a node that feeds all the different parties of that node in kind of giving-taking exchange, and which is the metaphor of the mushrooms that collaborate with the roots of trees. And also that once this encapsulation is installed and people or things or parts of the system go with these functionings, there is also some kind of decoherence necessary, permanent decoherence. The other thing I think was this idea of degrees of legibility. If you have a system, there's always things that are more or less legible in the system.
Okay.